Among the many details of getting a marriage ceremony arranged is constructing the list of the invited guests at the wedding reception. Who are we going to invite? And along with that, who don't we invite? It can be a gut-wrenching experience in thinking through these details. And a large part of it is personal feelings that go along with these hard decisions. Part of the details of who is on the list are the limitations of the space where the couple selects as the place where the wedding reception will happen. How many people can be comfortably seated and move about in that space? In our gospel passage for this morning, we have a formal dinner taking place, and this parable in story form is a lesson about the kingdom of God. And so my first point is, the invitation is given. The host prepares a great meal and invites many guests. It doesn't specifically say that this is a wedding feast, but it is described as the great dinner in the New American Standard Version. And in the English Standard Version, it calls it a great banquet. And in the New King James Version, a great supper. Whatever it is, we get the hint. It's a formal supper dinner with a large invitation list. Jesus gives this parable in response to what we read as the last verse of last week's lesson, which says, when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus responds to this statement by giving a parable about an invitation to a dinner, a feast, which signifies and speaks about the reality of God's kingdom, God's kingly rule of his people. Our passage begins with these words summarizing the invitation to this dinner. But he said to them, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. Perhaps you heard those things quite often from me right before I give the invitation for you to come forward and take communion. Beloved, come, for all things have been made ready. I'm not inventing those words out of thin air. They come from this parable. In ancient times, two invitations were issued for a formal dinner and feast. The first invitation was given way ahead of time. It's similar to what we call save the date. It gives you the date, not the time, but the date of the wedding reception. And then on the day of, they would tell you specifically, this is the time, come, for all things have been made ready. So for instance, you know it's going to happen on Sunday, March 16th. And early this afternoon, you're given the word, it's time to come. And so the invitation was given. It brings me to my second point, and that is the invitation was declined by some. Three people in this parable give three separate excuses for why they decided not to come to the dinner. One person said, I have a piece of land, and I need to go out and look at it. Please consider me excused. Another said, I have bought yoke of oxen, and I'm going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another said, I have married a wife, and for that reason, I cannot come. On the face of it, because we're not farmers, we don't know how flimsy and pathetic these excuses really were. All of them were flimsy and transparently dishonest. No one buys a field or a yoke of oxen without prior inspection. And if anyone was foolish enough to do that, you can inspect them tomorrow. Since you've already made the purchase, You can't get your money or your land refunded. So you can do them tomorrow. They don't need to happen today. And the man who had recently married would be excused from military service for an entire year, but not all social activities, for crying out loud. The new couple didn't sit around and have relations and twiddle their thumbs for a year. They were allowed to be involved in normal business engagements and dinner invitations. What all these excuses signified was that within Israel, the covenant nation had heard God's invitation throughout the Old Testament scriptures. And those who value business, material possessions, or family more than this invitation to come and join with God in his banquet will be judged accordingly. The many who were first called the people of Israel, those designated heirs of the kingdom of God, shirked off and spurned the covenant that they had with God. They had been long ago promised this kingdom feast through God's servants, the prophets of the Old Testament, and now through Jesus and his apostles, they were given the message that the hour for the kingdom of God has arrived because Messiah has come to bring salvation for his people. Israel should hearken to Jesus and his apostles and respond to God's invitation and come and trust in Jesus as Messiah. Incredibly, many in Israel did not welcome and trust in Jesus as Messiah when he came and ministered among them. And again, he wasn't just teaching, he was showing miracles, verifying that in fact he was God's Messiah. Jesus came announcing the imminent arrival of the kingdom of God, and yet they refused to come to the feast. That brings me to my third point, and that is the invitation was accepted by others. After the original group who were invited to the feast declined their invitation for flimsy reason, the host was angry, but then instructed his slave to invite the poor, crippled, blind, and lame. The host in this parable who made the great feast represents God, who is preparing the great feast for all peoples, for all nations in the age to come. How did God respond after the first group had declined the invitation to his banquet? Even though his generosity had been spurned by many in Israel, God would continue to invite those in Israel who were looked down, as riffraff. The poor, the lame, the blind, and crippled may be describing their physical condition, but it also may be describing their spiritual condition. In Matthew 21, verses 31 and 32, Jesus says to the religious leaders in Israel, "Truly I say to you that tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the kingdom of God before you." God calls those who are undesirable in the world's eyes, but are precious in the sight of God. In this parable, after the poor, the lame, blind, and crippled have come to the feast, there is still room for more guests. And the host then says to his slave in Luke 14, 23, "Go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled." God is determined to have his banqueting table filled. Our Lord uses the word compel. It's important that we understand what this word means in this context. It does not mean that the slave uses brute force to make people come to the feast against their will. Only one slave is spoken of here as giving out the invitations, and he is not able to bring force to bear upon people. But what it does mean is that the slave was to urgently plead with and invite people to the banquet. Someone who lives in the rural areas far away from where this dinner was taking place, needed to be convinced to travel this long way to come to the banquet. And perhaps the person living in the nether regions of this land needed to be convinced of that. Are you kidding? I'm 30 miles away. I can't just hop in a car. He's got to get on a horse or walk or on a donkey. It's going to take him time. He probably needed convincing that this invitation was real and sincere. While there were many unfaithful Jews who were invited to Christ yet continued to reject him, these Gentiles who were from distant lands formed the call and teaching of the Old Testament prophets and accepted the gospel of Christ. There is also another complementary way to interpret this group of people who were along the highways and hedges. And that is many of those outside of the call of the gospel in the early years of their life heard nothing about Christ, but embraced the gospel later in their adult life. On the other hand, there are some who were baptized as infants and reared in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, who later in life cast off their Christian heritage and forsake the Christian gospel. Both of those scenarios are true, and that's what this parable, part of which, is talking about. Thus, being called or invited to the feast is not enough. The response of faith and trust in Christ is necessary to be included in the kingdom of God and of His Son, Jesus Christ. God is patient with us and long-suffering, but this parable teaches and warns everyone not to presume upon God's patience. Our Lord is also teaching us that we must be at peace with God before we die or the second coming of Christ happens. Once either our death or Christ comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead, there are no more chances to be right with God. Life is both short and tenuous. And if someone is not in right relationship with God, today is the day of salvation. And so God calls His church, just like He did this slave, to go out into the highways and hedges and invite people to come to God through Jesus, who is rich in mercy. May we faithfully persevere in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and serve the Lord as we earnestly invite people in our circle of friends and acquaintances to the supper of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your generous invitation and Your mercy to partake in Your feast of salvation. Help us to respond wholeheartedly, embracing the forgiveness and eternal joy offered through Jesus Christ. Teach us also, O Lord, to prioritize Your invitation over worldly distractions and to share this good news with others. May we live in the fullness of Your love and peace, both now and forever. These things we ask through Jesus Christ, Your Son, our Lord. Amen.